ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो चयम् उदीरयेत्। नास्तापरेषु अपात्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके। कृष्णे स्वात्मपाकते धर्मज्ञानिपि सह खलो नास्तति सम्मेषा पुरुणार्कोतु नोदितः। So read from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 1st chapter, text 34. Huh? Maybe we also take 35. See you this year, Vacha. Kitrisha. Kasya. Va. Shapo. Hari dasa abhimarsanaha ashrateya ibabhati harer ekantinam bhavaha. See you this dear vacha kitrisha kasya vashapo Kitrisha kasya vashapo Haridasa bimarsanaha Haridasa bimarsanaha Ashrataya ivabhati Ashrataya ivabhati Harir ekantinam bhavaha Hare rekantinam bhavaha Kitrisha kasya vachapo Haridasa bimarsanaha Ashrataya ivabhati Hare rekantinam bhavaha Shri Yudhisthira vacha Maharaj Yudhisthira said, Kitrisha, what kind of, kasya, whose, va, or, shapaha, curse, haridasa, the servant of Hari, abhimarsanaha, overcoming, Ashradhataya, incredible, Iva, as if, Abhati, appears, Hare, of Hari, Ekantinam, of those exclusively devoted, as exalted attendants, Bhavaha, bird. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Maharaj Yudhisthira inquired from Narada Muni, what kind of great curse could affect even liberated Vishnu Bhaktas, and what sort of person could curse even the Lord's associates? For unflinching devotees of the Lord to fall again to this material world is impossible. I cannot believe this. Translation. In the Bhagavad Gita 8:16, the Lord clearly states, Mam upetya tu kaunteya puna janma na vidyate. One who is purified of material contamination and returns home back to Godhead does not return to this material world. Elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, 4.9, Krishna says, Janma karma chamedi ivyam, ivam yoveti tatvataha, tyaktva deham puna janma, naiti mameti sochuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Maharaj Yudhisthira therefore was surprised that a pure devotee could return to this material world. This is certainly a very important question. So we will also take 35. Dehendriyasu hinanam vaikunta pura vasinam deha sambandha sambadham etat akhyatum arhasi. The bodies of the inhabitants of Vaikuntha are completely spiritual, having nothing to do with the material body, senses, or life air. Therefore, kindly explain how associates of the personality of Godhead were cursed to descend in material bodies like ordinary persons. This very significant question would be difficult for an ordinary person to answer. But Narada Muni, being an authority, could answer this. Therefore Maharaj Yudhisthira inquired from him, saying, Etat akhyatum arhasi. Only you can explain the reason. From authoritative sources, it can be discerned that associates of Lord Vishnu who descend from Vaikuntha do not actually fall. They come with the purpose of fulfilling the desire of the Lord, and their descent to this material world is comparable to that of the Lord. The Lord comes to this material world through the agency of his internal potency, and similarly, when a devotee or associate of the Lord descends in this material world, he does so through the action of the spiritual energy. Any pastime conducted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is an arrangement by Yoga Maya, not Mahamaya. Therefore, it is to be understood that when Jaya and Vijaya descended to this material world, they came because there was something to be done for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, it is a fact that no one falls from Vaikuntha. Of course, a living entity who desires Sayuja Mukti remains in Krishna's Brahman effulgence, which is dependent on Krishna's body. Brahmanohi Pratishtaham, Bhagavad Gita 14.27. Such an impersonalist who takes shelter of the Brahman effulgence must surely fall down. This is stated in the Shastra, Bhagavatam 10.2.32, quoted by Lord Brahma. Yenye ravindaksha vimukta maninas tvai astapabat avishuddha buddhaya aruya krishnena parampatam tatha patantiyato natritayushmat angrayaha. O Lord, the intelligence of those who think themselves liberated but who have no devotion is impure. Even though they rise to the highest point of liberation, by dint of severe penances and austerities, they are sure to fall down again into material existence. But they do not take shelter at your lotus feet. The impersonalists cannot reach the Vaikuntha planets to become associates of the Lord, and therefore, according to their desires, Krishna gives them Sayuja Mukti. However, since Sayuja Mukti is a partial mukti, they must fall again to this material world. When it is said that the individual soul falls from Brahma Loka, this applies to the impersonalist, coming from Brahman. From authoritative sources, it is learned that Jaya and Vijaya, were sent to this material world to fulfill the Lord's desire to fight. The Lord also sometimes wants to fight, but who can fight with the Lord but a very confidential devotee of the Lord? Jai and Vijay descended to this world to fulfill the Lord's desire. Therefore, in each of their three births, first as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, second as Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and third as Shishupal and Dantavakra, the Lord personally killed them. In other words, these associates of the Lord, Jai and Vijay, descended to the material world to serve the Lord by fulfilling his desire to fight. Otherwise, as Maharaj Yudhisthira says, Ashradheya Ivabhati, the statement that a servant of the Lord could fall from Vaikuntha seems unbelievable. How Jaya and Vijaya came to this material world is explained by Narada Muni as follows. Then Narada Muni narrates the story, or short, gives a summary, because the story is already mentioned in third canto, how Jaya Vijaya fell from Vaikuntha. And here Narada, he just gives a short synopsis of how Jai and Vijay came as Shishupal and Dantavakra to take part in Krishna's Leela in a negative, so-called negative form or mood. Om Agyati Maranyasya Ganancana Salakayam Chakshurunulitam Yena Tasma Shigrave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Katamayam Dadati Svabhadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayati Krim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dina Taranam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, seventh canto, the first chapter, is entitled "The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone." It started with the question of Maharaj Parikshit to Shukadev Goswami, who had a doubt. How is it possible? It seems to be that Maharaj Parikshit took the side of Indra, a demigod. And therefore he thought, you know, how is it possible that the Lord, who is equal to everyone, is actually protecting the demigods, and on the other hand is killing the demons? So if the Lord is equal to everyone, he says in the Gita, he is not partial to anyone, he is nobody's friend, special friend, he is nobody's special enemy. So how the Lord is participating in this duality and interfering and killing demons and protecting demigods? Because a demigod and the demon, they're both in the material world. The demigods are in the mostly... Jai Sri Gonitai, Krishna Balaram, Jai Sri Radhishyam, Gichai. The demigods are mostly in the mode of goodness, mixed with some passion, and the demons are, and the rakshasas, they're in the mode of ignorance, also sometimes mixed with passion. So they're in the modes of material nature. Sometimes goodness is prominent, sometimes passion, sometimes ignorance. So the Lord is not a product of the material modes. The modes are under his control. is not interfering, but still he fulfills the desires of his or of the conditioned souls in this material world according to the time. Therefore, the certain modes like tamaguna, rajaguna, and sattvaguna is taking over, and according to that, certain living entities who are demigods, demons, or rakshasas become very strong and become empowered by the gunas, who are actually the energy of the Lord. So the material world is like a prison house, as we know, and it is meant for those who have forgotten the Lord, who want to enjoy independently of the Lord. It is not for those who are eternally abide or have a natural bath, a natural feeling and love towards service to the Lord. So they in general don't fall. They stay in the spiritual world, in the Vaikuntha planets. They never come down to the material world. And these are described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are 3/4 of living entities, they stay in Vaikuntha. They don't have desire, they don't have tendency to leave the Vaikuntha, to come to the material world. So the material world is made for the ekapad vibhutis. That means 1/4 of living entities who are take shelter in the Lord's Maya. Ultimately, everything is the Lord's kingdom, the spiritual world and the material world. The difference is, in the spiritual world, everything is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss, and in the material world is everything temporary, full of ignorance, ultimately, and full of misery. That's the difference. Therefore, the Vaikuntha Vasis, or those who are attached to Vaikuntha Lila, to the pastimes of the Lord in Vaikuntha, they don't come to the material world to get a taste of the Maya, of darkness. They like to remain there all the time. Like nobody likes to suffer unnecessarily, you know, or voluntarily. Coming to a place of suffering, if you're situated in a place of eternal bliss, knowledge, and full satisfaction. Therefore, the question later on, narrated by Narada, actually Shukadev then tells the story of Narada, or Yudhisthira, who is approaching Narada Muni after the sacrificial offering of the Ashwamedha Yajna. What Yudhisthira performed, they were Shishupal. And Shishupal, he was a natural enemy of Krishna since birth, since beginning. He actually had I think it's in Mahabharata mentioned that he had 100 offenses he could speak out, Shishupal. Actually, his mother, she knew that Shishupal, he was not in favor of Krishna. He always spoke bad, already since a small child. As soon as he could speak, he just was nasty about Krishna. So he was a natural enemy of Krishna. Therefore, he's called demon. So he was a demoniac, natural demoniac towards Krishna, animosity. And therefore, he didn't like that Krishna could accept the first share in the sacrifice of Yudhisthira Maharaj. There was a big discussion: who is the most venerable, respectable person in the assembly? And most were in favor of Krishna, but Shishupal was against it. And actually, before that happened, Krishna came to the house of the parents of Shishupal, and the mother fell to his feet and requested him, "Please, I know, my dear Lord, you are the Lord, but my son is not accepting you. He sees you as an enemy. He is against you by nature. But please don't kill him. Don't kill him." Then Krishna told, okay, I will not kill him. I will tolerate 100 offenses from him. Only after 100 offenses, then I have to kill him. That is the quota I give to him. He can speak out 100 offenses against me. And so then mother was somehow satisfied. She thought, to speak out 100 offenses, I hope it will not happen for my son. But then it happened Shishupal spoke 100 offenses, and then the Lord Sudarshan Chakra cut off his head in front of everyone. And then the amazing thing was that everyone saw how this spark, the soul, the jiva of the Shishupal went up to the sky, waited there for a moment, and entered the body of Krishna. So when Yudhisthira Maharaj witnessed that, he became completely amazed, and he thought, how is this possible? How is it possible that a demon, a sworn demon of the Lord, that he can attain the same Sayuja Mukti, the liberation, but the yogis try to attempt, but it's even difficult for them to attain. So he, although he was a demon, entered the same perfection of liberation in the body of the Lord. Of course, we know from the external point of view, the Acharyas say he entered from the external point of view, it seems to be that he entered the body of the Lord, but that was only a temporary station, because later on we know from authority like Narad Muni that he actually went that he actually attained his eternal position again in as Vaikuntha Chokidar, gatekeeper, in the seventh gate. In the first gate of Vaikuntha. So they attained their seven gates to Vaikuntha, and then the first gate of Jaya and Vijaya stay. And then the next gate, other guards. So it's very difficult to enter into Vaikuntha. There are different kinds of gatekeepers to enter. Here in Vrindavan, every door has only one or two gatekeepers. But there they have to go through seven gates to come to the temple or to the inner core of the Vaikuntha planet. So you're checked there. So Jaya and Vijaya, they're associates of the Lord as gatekeepers, as servants, and Shishupal and Dantavakra, who was also killed later on by Krishna, entered, they went back to their position. Three birds they had. And this was all revealed by Narad Muni, because Narad Muni, he is omniscient. He knows what is going on in the spiritual world, in the material world, in the higher planets, in the lower planets, in the middle planets. He's practically like the super soul. He knows what is going on in everyone's heart. And he knew the history, because he's the son of Brahma, who took birth in this who came from previous life as son of Brahma to disseminate bhakti all over the universe. So he knows what is going on in the universe, he is always aware and helpful to the devotees to bring them back to the service of the Lord. And so therefore, he also enlightened Yudhisthira Maharaj. He pacified him. Don't be afraid. The Lord is actually not partial. This is a different arrangement. It's not that he is partial to the demigods and the enemy of demon. That is not fitting to the Lord, because the Lord is only acting out of love and affection. But if somebody, in this case, when Krishna killed Shishupal and Dantavakra, they were not ordinary jivas. They were not the demons who are normally try to be demon of the Lord because of the influence of the modes of material nature. Because for them, Krishna don't have to come to kill them. Krishna has for that his agency. He has the material nature. He has Maya. He has a different arrangement due to the law of material nature that the demons get their actions and reactions, and mostly, as we can see, they kill themselves. The demons, due to their activities, they're causing so many difficulties, and due to their karma, and they get so many reactions, and ultimately they become killed and destroyed by themselves, by their own sinful activities. So for that, Krishna doesn't have to come. The Lord is always in transcendental position. He's not a material product. He doesn't accept a material body. And actually also his devotees, when they come from the spiritual world, they don't accept the material body. And if they accept the so-called material body as an enemy or as a devotee, they do it as a leela, as a pastime for the pleasure of the Lord. Because the Lord is a supreme enjoyer. He doesn't only want to enjoy rasa leela. Krida, actually krida means pastime. It's another word of pastime. So in the material world, Krishna also reveals himself. He comes as different avatars. We have a list in the Bhagavatam, in the first canto of 22 avatars described by Suta Goswami. In the second canto, there's another list of avatars with about two more, but 24. So there, but ultimately, Goswami says the avatars are like waves in a river. They're uncountable. The Bhagavatam authorities only mention the most important ones, Leela avatars. And Krishna himself is also, he comes as a Leela avatar in one day of Brahma to perform his Leela, to show his wonderful, amazing Krida or Leelas. Pastimes, loving pastimes here in this material world. He doesn't have to come, but he decides to come because he knows there are so many different devotees here in the material world who like to see him. In the spiritual world, everyone can see him all the time. But also to increase the mood of the separation and the intensity of being with Krishna, Krishna sometimes leaves for a short mission, for a moment, so that the ecstasy of separation becomes increased in his devotees in the spiritual world. Of course, he also sometimes takes many of them with him, or some of them, to participate in his leelas. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it is stated that by Sanatana Goswami, he wrote this wonderful book, Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It is full of amazing stories and pastimes of experience of Gop Kumar, how he attained ultimately Goloka, and how he came to the Vaikuntha planets, and how he witnessed that everyone in the Vaikuntha planets had similar bodies like that of the Lord. And that everyone of the Vaikuntha Vasis, they accepted different forms of the Lord to please him. Sometimes even enemies, sometimes even demons. Sometimes in animal form, sometimes in the different kinds of species, they are taking bodies because they're spiritual. So they can dress themselves or appear in such a mood so that they can please the Lord. And the Lord himself is responding and accepting different moods to please his devotees. And so in this way, the Lord is performing so many wonderful activities together with his devotees. And this is all under described here under the influence of Yogamaya, the internal energy. the material pastimes or activities of the living entities, but they're performed by the external energy of the Maya, and that it's covering them, their consciousness, and dragging them down in ignorance, in forgetfulness. But in the spiritual world, there's no Maya, there's no influence of the material energy, there are no gunas there. So therefore, if somebody is falling from the spiritual world, from the Vaikuntha, what to speak, from Goloka, must be the Lord's arrangement for the pleasure of his own Leela, to perform different pastimes for his own pleasure and for the pleasure of his devotees. Therefore, some devotees of his associates in Vaikuntha, he arranges that they become so-called cursed. He also hears sometimes the Lord become cursed, or Radharani become cursed, or Sridharma become cursed. So that the Leela in the material world could take place. Of course, there is no real curse in Vaikuntha working. Therefore, that was Yudhishthira Maharaj's doubt. How is it possible that a devotee, or especially an associate of the Lord in Vaikuntha, can become cursed? How a curse can act there? Because a curse is only acting in the material world. It's a mode of ignorance. Somebody must be very angry. So how is it possible that anger can enter Vaikuntha? Because Vaikuntha is no anger, it's no fear, it's no anxiety. Kunta is not existing in Vaikuntha. It's transcended there, it's a pure spiritual world. There's no Kunta, there's no anxiety, there's no curse. Therefore Yudhishthira Maharaj's question was very reasonable, because he is Dharmaraj. What kind of chastity? How is it possible that the Vaikuntha Vasa can become cursed? How is it possible? How a curse can enter in Vaikuntha? How Tamaguna and Rajaguna can enter Vaikuntha? Then it's not Vaikuntha anymore. Then it becomes Kunta. That was his doubt. And therefore, he thought, the only authority who can tell me is Narada. And Prabhupada also points out, such question we cannot ask to everyone. And we only can ask to somebody who actually knows, who has the realization and the witness about it. And that has to be a great personality like Narada Muni, Shukadeva Goswami. They know. Therefore, we have to approach this line of knowers. Don't ask an ordinary person on the street, or a newspaper man, or historian who writes some books. They don't know. They only speculate. So therefore, only a transcendental personality like Narada Muni or Shukadeva Goswami, they know. They are the eyes of the universe. They can see. And they're seers. Like Vyasadeva was also a seer. He knew past, present, and the future. Therefore, he could give us the Vedic literature, the Puranas, the Vedanta Sutras, and the Srimad Bhagavatam, ultimately by the inspiration of Narada Muni. Only to inspire to us, to reveal to us these transcendental pastimes of the Lord. And actually give us an understanding that the Lord's pastime are taking eternally place in the Vaikunthas, but they also take place simultaneously in the material world from one universe to another. Therefore, even the Leela in the material world, although it is temporarily manifested in one planet or one universe, it will go on in another universe. Therefore, it's called also Nitya. The material world, the Leelas are also continuously going on from one universe to another. Because the Lord is like a transcendental circus who is coming and revealing so many different amazing pastimes, not only in favorable way, but also in unfavorable way. Somebody else, some of his devotees play demon. But this is a drama revealed by the internal energy, so that the event of Krishna's Leela in so many different ways are taking place. And we can read nowadays about it in form of Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranic literatures. Some think this is all made up by somebody, it's not real, because ultimately everything is impersonal, it's coming Brahman, and we ultimately we all come from Brahman, enter Brahman, but this is Mayavadi. Brahman is already a fallen stage. Therefore, we cannot come from Brahman and come back to Brahman. As Prabhupada is pointing out, even if you enter Brahman as a yogi, impersonalist yogi, you have to come back. Dyaktvadi hampuna chanma naitima. What is the verse? Yeni. Quoted here by Prabhupada. Yeni ramindaksha vimukta manina. Brahma, he says, those who consider themselves liberated without taking shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, this is vimukta manina, it's impure. So they have to come down to this material world and take birth again and in the modes of nature and act in different ways, in karma. So they're not really liberated. Only somebody who is engaged in pure devotional service, free of the modes of material nature, ultimately will become liberated. And then Tyaktvati Hampunachama Naiti Mameti Sochana. Krishna promises, then he will not fall down again, because he went back. So that means it's not that the devotee who goes back that he will fall. It must be a fixed up devotee. Who is fixed in the Vaikuntha Leela, he seemingly falls with the Lord together, coming to reveal, to help him, to assist him in his pastimes. And so in this way, so many devotees, sometimes it seems to be they become cursed, sometimes voluntarily, or by the will of the Lord, they come to assist him in the spiritual world, in Goloka, in Vaikuntas, in the material world, somewhere to help him, assisting him to reveal his Leelas, so that we conditioned souls who are Nitya Bada since time immemorial in contact with the material energy can become attracted to it and join the party. Going back home, back to Godhead. From there, not coming down. So I stop here. Hare Krishna. Maybe some question. It's a difficult topic here to speak. Much more. So that's what I could speak now. But if maybe you have some question, I can try to say something more. Or is it already clear or not clear?
My question is that you said that courses are more to one of you guys.
What is?
A curse. You said that it's, but sometimes we see
acoustically, I cannot hear good.
Sometimes we see that the senses. Like the morning sages, they curse. How do you understand that? Sages.
Sometimes
they curse for benefit.
Yeah.
how to understand, because obviously they are not in lower rooms, so.
Yeah. No, again, this is if a sage like Narada is cursing, like he cursed the Yadu Daina, the boys, Krishna's own sons, that they will kill themselves in a fraternal war. But again, we have to say the Yadu dynasty cannot become cursed by Narada in a negative way, as a black magician is cursing somebody, you know, to damn them and condemn them in a very bad way. But whenever there's a curse of Narada for the Yadus, or also for the sons of Kuvera, Damodar Lila, it is a blessing. So when a sage like Narada is cursing, there's a blessing behind it. So that ultimately it is favorable for Krishna's Leela and for the pastime of the Lord. No? So that's not anger in the sense of material anger behind it. It's a spiritual anger. It's a spiritual anger. Because sometimes it seems that the Lord and the Lord's devotees, when they come to the material world, they become angry, right? Like the Lord become angry as Nisingadev, as Varaha, and also as Krishna to kill certain demons. But this anger is not the same anger as the demon anger, because there are three gateways to hell, karma, loba, and krodha. They're the three gateways, 16th chapter. That's demoniac quality. So sometimes you see also in Krishna, karma, loba, and krodha. But this is not the same karma, loba, and krodha like the demons, because this quality is in relation with Krishna, it's purified, it's transcendental. And this is also the impersonalistic conception. How can be krodha in the Lord or in his devotees? How can they be lusty like the gopis? How they can show up lust? How they can be greedy? That's not possible. That means this is a material symptoms. And therefore that cannot be transcendental, because it's not Brahman activity, or no activity. So that's their defect in their thinking. No, therefore the Bhagavad school shows even anger, lust and greed, etc., all these so-called material qualities also have a pure transcendental aspect in rasa, in relationship with Krishna. So it's not negative. So it's a question of perception. Everything comes from Krishna. Everything comes from the spiritual world. If these qualities are not there, it cannot exist in the material world. And if we are transforming these qualities in service to Krishna, for pleasing him, then they become purified. Purified lust, purified greed, even purified illusion. Only anger ultimately is not existing at all. Although it can stay for some time, but it's not all the time. Anger and envy like that should actually ultimately be given up. By transforming it in love to Krishna. But sages and also Krishna himself in some avatar, he may reveal some anger, but this is transcendental. Yeah, some other question? Hare Krishna, thank you. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.